Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph, the top line of Abaye Amar. Abaye is coming to give another answer to the question that the Gemara posed in our previous shiur. The Gemara had asked that the Mishnah Masechta Ksubis teaches us that Eila Nara Sheshlam Knas, in the following situation, if a girl was violated, is she entitled to Knas? If some Rahman Slan has relations with a sister. And the Mara's question is, if we're learning in our Shiurim that somebody who pursues his sister in such a fashion may be killed, so then why should there be Knas? Why is this not a situation that we should apply the concept of Kim Leib D'Rabnei? And the Gemara offered a number of Terutzim. Now Abaye says, Abaye Omer, the way to understand that Mishnah is b'shiyachal ahatzel bechmeyavarov. The Mishnah there refers to a situation where you didn't have to murder the pursuer; you could have just wounded him. Rav Yonis ben Shaul he, and it's going to represent the opinion of Rav Yonis ben Shaul. The Tanya, Rav Yonis ben Shaul Omer, right of shayy, right of achich haver lahargoy. If somebody's pursuing someone else with the intention of killing him, and instead of murdering, you could just stop him by injuring him, and instead of doing so, he actually killed the pursuer. The person who kills him is going to be killed himself. So according to this, the Gemara is very understandable. It's not a situation where a person is chayiv Misa. So according to Rashi, that the halacha is, if even though the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, and they hold that if somebody killed the murderer, he's potter. The Kesef Mishnah, so according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, we have a machlokes of Rashi and Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, and the Rabbi is saying that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul. The Rambam, according to the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the opinion of the Rambam, is that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul's opinion. It's Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul that articulated it, but everybody agrees it. Ask the Gemara, my time to Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul, what is the basis for Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul's opinion? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, in Parshas Mishpatim, V'chi yinotzu anoshim, if people will be battling, v'nokvu isha horob, and they're going to attack, they're going to wound a pregnant woman. That means if two people are in a battle, and while they're fighting, they attack, they wound a pregnant woman, and because of that, she miscarries, they have to pay the value of the children. Varavalazar, says Ravalazar in explaining that pasuk, but Matzus, the pasuk is referring to a situation that one was prepared to kill the other man, and while doing so accidentally, that they killed the woman. One makes Rabbi Elazar explain the pasuk that way, the ksiv, because the pasuk afterwards says, that if the woman, Rahman Slam, will die, then the person who killed her will be killed for being a murderer. So obviously, it's talking about a situation where this person is premeditated to kill somebody else. Because if there was no intention to kill, so then the person who did it, as terrible as what he did is, would not be chayiv misa. But filo hacham rachmana, and still the Torah says that even though he was an individual who was prepared to kill somebody else, the Torah says, "V'loy yia asan, if no one dies besides these unborn children." So the Torah says, "Anish anish," and the definition of "anish anish" means that he'll have to pay the value of those children. So says that a question is, if this person who was doing what we just described, he was doing, the halacha ought to be that he should be chayiv, that we should say kim leib d'rabnei, because he was chayiv misa for attempted murder. So here, Bishlama, if we'll say, as Rabbi Yonason ben Shaul has taught us, the yachlat subach mevarav loy nitam hatzel benafshoy, that if you could have wounded him instead of killing him, that's what you're supposed to do. Now we understand that pasuk. Now we can understand why he would have to pay, because we're referring to a situation. We could have just wounded him to stop this attack, and therefore it's not a situation of kimle b'drabne of misa mamon. Eli Amrit, if we're going to suggest that even in a situation where you could do so, nitan latzila b'nafshay, the halacha is we could kill him. So why shouldn't we say kimle b'drabne hechem mishkach sladiyanish? Why should he have to pay? Answers the Gemara: this is not a good proof, because that is a situation, that pasuk of a situation of misa l'zev tashlum l'zev. The misa is chayiv because he was trying to kill somebody else. The tashlumim is chayiv because of the babies that actually died. And the Gemara is suggesting that when do we say kimle b'drabne, that we only say kimle b'drabne where the two punishments come from the same individual. But here, it is not such a situation. Here, one punishment is coming because of the children, the mamon, and one punishment is coming because of an individual he was trying to kill. That's why we don't say kimle d'ramene. Says the Gemara Loishna, that is not true. That the concept of kimle d'ramene applies in both situations, even if the two punishments come from two different places. Dama Rava, if somebody was pursuing someone else, the Shibras of Kalim, and while he was doing so, he broke Kalim, Bain Shal Nidav, Bain Shakal Adam, whether it was the Kalim belonged to the person he was trying to kill or somebody else, Potter, my Tama, the reason that he's Potter is Meshayim Neschai Ben Afshay. So we see that even when the Chiv Misa comes because he was trying to kill one person, and the Chiv Mammon comes because he destroyed somebody else's Kalim, we still say Kimle b'drabne. Continues the Gemara, telling us another halacha that Rava teaches us. The Nirdaf Sheshiber es Akilem Sharoidaf. If the Nirdaf, as he was running away from the Roidaf, destroyed the Kalim of the Roidaf, Potter. What about Shakal Adam? If he destroyed Kalim that belonged to somebody else, there is going to be Chayiv. And Rav explains why. Sharoidev Potter, if he destroys the Kalim of the Roidev, his Potter, Shloim Imanei, Chavav Lav Megufay, that if the Nirdev is allowed to kill the Roidev, as we're learning, to save himself, certainly he could throw Kalim at the Roidev to prevent him from doing what he wants to do, and therefore he will not be chayiv for breaking those kalim. Shekol adam chayiv, but if he broke somebody else's kalim, there he'll have to pay for those kalim, because that will be a situation of matzal atzmoi b'mamon chaveroi. The halacha is you're not allowed to use, we learned in Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, that you're not allowed to use somebody else's kalim to save himself, but if he has to use those kalim, then the halacha is that he may use them, but he's going to have to pay for them. The reason he's allowed to use them is because, as the Gemara explains over there, ein l'cha davar omer b'fnei pikuach nefesh, this is a situation of pikuach nefesh, but he has to pay for it, because that doesn't change that he has to pay for what he did. V'roidiv, Shayroidev continues Rava teaching us. Roidev Shayroidev Achroidev Latziloi. If somebody was trying to save a Nirdev, a victim from a pursuer, the Shibas Akalim, and he breaks Kalim in his attempt to stop the pursuer, Dir Aloch is Bain Shalroidev, Bain Shal Nirdev. And notice this, we're speaking here about an outsider who does this. Their halach is if he breaks kalim, bein sharoy de bein shanirdef or bein shakol adam, no matter whose kalim he breaks, he'll be potter. Says the Gemara, the reason being loy men adin. It's not really what the halacha would necessarily dictate, but shim iyat oimakein. if you will not, it says the Gemara, if we will not institute such a rule, there's nobody that's going to be prepared to get involved and help somebody, because he'll say that he'll have to be held responsible. And even though, explained Dar Zeruah, most people will not take that attitude, and most people's attitude will be that they'll do whatever they can to save somebody else. But there are maybe people that will take this attitude. And the big theme of today's shiur is that we do whatever we can to save somebody. So Chazal, in order to promote this concept of Hatzalah, the way Chazal instituted that concept of Hatzalah is by saying that if you will use somebody else's wound somebody's kalim in your attempt to save somebody, then you're allowed to. Says the Gemara, Aval Roy Devacha Behema. We learned in the Mishnah somebody is trying to have relations with an animal. We can't kill that person who wants to do that horrible aveira. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Hoyver Avis Kechavim. If we see somebody is about Rechman Tzlan to worship Avodah Zarah, there the halach is Nitin Latzola Benafshoi. We could do whatever we can to stop him. Bekav Chaimer. What's the basis for Rav Elazar's opinion? For Rav Shimon ben Yochai's opinion, we make a Kav Chaimer. Ma Pagam Hedjet. If we're going to hurt this person, murder him, which is something which is only as far as life, gashmius, nitin l'tzila b'nafshoi, p'gam gvoya, that he's going to worship Avodah Zarah, loikoshkein, the halacha is, we're allowed to do whatever we have to do. Ask the Gemara, but we've learned many times the concept is, that can we say that a person is chayiv misa because of a kal v'chaymer? Because as we've explained previously, a kal v'chaymer is based on logic. And if based on logic, we're going to give the person a punishment, particularly like in the case of our Gemara, we're going to kill the person. And then it turns out that the logic behind the kal v'chaymer is flawed. We will have killed somebody, and obviously that's not reversible. So ask the Gemara, you may have a good kal v'chaymer, but isn't there a rule, v'chi onshim adin? Do we give punishment based on a kal v'chaymer? Says the Gemara, yes. Kesavar, Rav Shimon ben Yochai's opinion is that onshim adin, we could give a punishment based on a kal v'chaymer. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Omer, ha-mechal s'shabbos. If somebody, Rechamot Son's mechal s'shabbos, nitn l'tzil b'nafshoi, we could do whatever we have to do to stop him. Because Savalai Kavua, he holds like his father of Shimon ben Yochai, the Amar that just taught us that Einshmanadin, we could identify a punishment based on a Kavachaymer, and then Vashi Shabbos Chil Chilm Avod Chachamim, through Xer Shava, he's going to say the same halacha is by Shabbos as well. Our Gemara now begins the Sugya of Yehorig Yava. Even though, as Rashi explains, that Kadosh Baruch Hu teaches us in the Torah the Chai Bahem, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu values the life of every Jew, and therefore the Chai Bahem, a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do whatever we can to be alive. Others explain that the explanation is because if a Jew will live longer, every minute that he's alive, he could do more mitzvahs. So we have to preserve every Jew's life. So that's why the halacha is, besides for the three averis, which will be identified in our shiur today, and all situations, you have to be ready to do what you have to do to stay alive. There's a machlokes rishonim. If somebody wants to be machmer and give up his life in a situation where he's being forced to do an avera, may he do so. The Rambam's opinion is that one may not do so. Tosfos says that you may do so. The Chinuch has an interesting approach. The Chinuch approach is that a regular person has no right to give up his life where the halacha doesn't allow us to give up our life. But Anosh Chachomim Gedolim says great people, great tzaddikim, have the right to do so have a right to do so. But the three Averis, Avodah Zarah, Gilah Raiah, Shfichas Damim, there the halacha, as we're going to learn, is that one has to be ready to give up his life. Says the Rambam that if somebody, instead of giving up his life, we were supposed to do so, he didn't, he's Mechalas Hashem. And if he did so publicly, he's Mechalas Hashem Barabim, and he took away, he didn't do the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. On the contrary, he did what would be considered a Chil Hashem. But the Rambam says that if now we're ready after that situation, where a person should have been ready to give up his life, but he didn't, he doesn't get punished for doing so. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yochanan B'Shem, Rav Shem Ben Yoy Tzadik, Nimnu V'Gamru, they took a vote and they decided, Balias Beis Nitzah, Shevelud. Nitzah was a great individual, that in the attic of his home, there was a Beis HaMedrash, and this is where they would gather to discuss the Vei Torah. And they decided the Kavei Sheba Torah regarding all Averis in the Torah, Im Aymer Meladim Avar V'Hal Taharig, if they tell him either violate this Veira or you will be killed, the Loch is Yav V'Al Yaharig. He should do so. Chutz V'Averis Kuchav V'Gilei Arayis V'Shvich Estamim, these are the three examples that are different. There's a machloikus rishonim. If a person sees that this is about to happen, is he allowed to kill himself because he knows he's ultimately going to get murdered? So it's better that he should kill himself versus somebody else. Says the Gemara. Avodas Kochavim loy is the halacha that by Avodas Kochavim that a person should not violate, rather give his life up. But Tanya asked the Gemara, "How we not learned?" Amar Rabbi Shema, "Menayim shem amar lel adam avoid avos kachavim, worship avoid the zara. For if you will not worship avoid the zara, al taharig, otherwise you'll be killed. Menayim shiaver val yaharig tamalayim v'chay behem v'loy shiyamus behem yochol afil b'fresia." We would think that this halacha even applies if this is happening publicly. Tamalayma. That when it's a situation of Chil Hashem, then the halacha is that you have to give up your life. But it's not under all circumstances. So how do we reconcile what we just learned with what we learned that everybody agrees that by Avodah Zarah the halacha is Yarg Val Yaver? Answers the Gemara in the Amik Reb Elezer. He holds like Reb Elezer. The Tanya, this Chacham that said that by Avodah Zarah, one is always obligated to give his life up, follow the opinion of Reb Elezer. The Tanya Reb Elezer Omer. The Pasuk says, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. Im neme b'chol nafshecha, lama neme b'chol moedecha. And im neme b'chol moedecha, lama neme b'chol nafshecha. Why does it have to say both? To teach us, Shim yesh lecha adam, shegufay chavav loy memoinei, he loves himself more than his money. That the person has to be ready to give up his life and not worship Avodah Zarah. If a person loves his money more than his life, so we see that Rabbi Elazar holds that a person is obligated to give up everything for not to worship Avodah Zarah, including his life. So Rav Nezer asks, the pasuk is saying b'chol moedecha that a person is obligated to give up everything in order not to worship of Avodah Zarah. So the question is, asked Rav Nezer, the halacha is that by all mitzvahs lois asay, we're obligated to give up all of our money. So what is being said here special by Avodah Zarah? Answers the Rav Nezer, because as we learned earlier, when we were discussing the halachas of Avodah Zarah, we learned that if somebody is worshipping Avodah Zarah, mehav of a yira, so the Gemara said that isn't considered worshipping Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is primarily something that's in our heart. So the person will say, yes, I'm worshipping Avodah Zarah, but it's not something that I'm really doing because it's not in my heart. That's why the Torah says that no, one shouldn't do something that looks like worshipping Avodah Zarah. So We're learning in our Gemara that a person, by all other Averis, the halacha is Yaver, he should worship Dura Avera, Vayarig, and not let himself get killed. The exceptions are Avodah Zarah, Gilarayis, and Ritzicha. We're also going to learn that if the purpose of forcing the Jew to violate the Avera is Laviray al-Dasai, to take him away from his religion, then it's an example that you have to give up your life. In the time of Gzeres Malchus, when there were special decrees against the Jews, there too one was supposed to give up his life. The Rambam says that, as we learned, that one is not allowed to give up his life where he's supposed to. But as we learned, not everybody agrees with the Rambam. Ask the Gra. He says, Taisus Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, teaches us that one is permitted to act stringently and give up his life rather than do an Avera, even when he's not obligated to do so. However, ask the Rambam, Taisus here says that that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, teaches us that somebody gave up his life rather than being Mechal Shabbos, and says that he did the wrong thing. So if one is allowed to act stringently, how do we reconcile the two Taisusim? So the Gra reconciles that Taisus holds, like we said, the Chinuch says, that one is permitted to give up his life if it is a situation of La'avira Odasai, even though one is not really required. If it's a situation of Kiddush Hashem, then he should give up his life. But if it's only for the Akum's benefit, Lahanosoi, then one is not obligated to give up his life. So now we reconcile. If the Akum is making a Jew do this because that's how he's going to show that he's prevailing over Jewish life, then we may not do so. Another situation, we may do so. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Shalom that if there is a situation where somebody's giving up his life in the cases that we're learning because he's doing so al Kiddush Hashem, before he loses his life, he should make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu l'kaddish shemai b'rabim. So the Mefarshim ask that the Rashba, very famous Rashba, says that we don't make a bracha on Stocker, because any mitzvah that isn't completely dependent just on the person who's performing the mitzvah, we don't make a bracha on it. For example, stocker, we don't make a bracha on stocker because there's a concern that maybe the person to whom we're giving the stocker will not accept it stocker. So over here, when we speak about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, it's not just the person who's giving him his life that's a partner to this situation. It's the person who's going to kill him. So why do you make a bracha? So Chaim Kanievsky explains that tzedakah is indeed something that depends on the poor person accepting the tzedakah, and therefore in such a situation, we don't make a bracha. But when we speak about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, then what is the bracha that the Shlach tells us to make the bracha for? She says the bracha is not made because this person was killed at Kiddush Hashem. The bracha is being made because this person is prepared to give up his life at Kiddush Hashem. So he says, in our situation, where the Jew is being threatened, and he's ready to give up his life, and let's say there'll be a miracle in the last moment, and he won't have to give up his life, that doesn't change that he was ready to give up his life at Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, since he was ready to give up his life at Kiddush Hashem, the bracha on Kiddush Hashem is appropriate. Another terrorist that he says is that if an Akum is so prepared to kill a Jew, we can be unfortunately quite confident that that's going to happen. Another explanation he gives is by tzedakah, we know that the person who's ready to give the tzedakah is prepared to do so. We really have no idea what is the intention of the person receiving the tzedakah. Here we know that the person is ready to give, to kill. This person who's threatening the Jews, ready to kill. And therefore, since we know that they that both of them have this intention, that's why this is a situation where we make a bracha. The Mefarshim, the Maram Shik goes on, says the Maram Shik disagrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want this bracha. What's the Rai of the Maram Shik? The Rai of the Maram Shik is from the famous Gemara, that the Gemara says that the Malachim wanted to say Shira when the Mitzrim were drowning. And what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction? Masa Yodai Tovim Beyam V'atem Omrim Shira. So the Malach, so he says that based on that, we don't say Shira. Just like the Malachim were prevented from saying Shira, we too should not say Shira under such circumstances. Another consideration is that this is a situation, a terrible situation, a situation of klola. And in a situation of klola, it's inappropriate to make a bracha. Our Gemara just discussed, famous Gemara, that Yesh lecha adam shememayne chavala megufoy, that you may have a person who loves himself, money more than loves himself. So I saw that the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shalom from Belz, makes a very interesting observation. In the first parak of Krishma, as we just learned, it says, b'chol v'avcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol ma'idecha. But in the second parak of Krishma, v'hoyim shemaya, it says, b'chol v'avcha, b'chol nafshcha, but it doesn't say, b'chol ma'idecha. Why not? So he says, if we think about this, if you had the Gemara as identifying an individual, shememaynai chavala megufay, how could you have a person that loves his money more than he loves himself? So he says you can't have every type of individual. You could even have an individual who loves memoina yois megufay. But to have, and the first parasha of Krishna, which is said b'loshin yachid, refers to such individual. The second parasha of Krishna says b'chol vavchem b'chol nafshechem is speaking to rabbim, a rabbim. To have a large group of people have that type of attitude, that is not possible. And therefore, it's not spoken about there. Another pshat that the Panim Yofa says, the question is, how could a person be ready to love his money more than he loves himself? So he quotes the Gemara Masechet Ksubos, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, L'mu'a Nagdu Amalei, the Gemara is saying that Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah, we know, were ready to give up their lives, but they weren't prepared to take Yisurim. He says, because Yisurim, death is a moment. Yisurim have no end. So the Gemara here says, it doesn't mean that it's Mammon. It means Yisurim. And the person may be ready to give up his life, but he's not ready to give up and have Yisurim. Another pshat, and the Sfasem is very similar pshat, he says that if a person is going to be deprived of all of his money, his life, every moment of his life, will be a difficult moment. And that a person, if he'll remain alive without any money, that person who's going to be ready, who's going to have to live his life without money, that's in poverty, that may be worse than death. Another pshat that the Maram Shik says, very similar pshat, there's a difference between something that happens in one moment, death, versus other things that will take much longer. Continues the Gemara. We also said that Gilei Rayos v'Shvichas Damim are situations where they identify the person is supposed to give up his life. Why? Says the Gemara Kedi Rebbe, because this is something that Rebbe taught us. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, the Pasuk says, regarding what we've been discussing in our previous year, the situation of somebody pursuing a Nar Marasa. And the Torah says, Ki kashi yokem ish arei v'tzoch nefesh, kein adova azeh. Says the Gemara, as we learned yesterday, the Torah compared the situation of Nara Marasa to the situation of murder. And the question is, what are we learning from Ritzeach to Nara Marasa? So we explain, that this is a situation where it seems we're going to teach from Ritzicha, but actually Nimtza Lamed. Makash Ritzeach to Nara Marasa. And just like we learned, we learned in our previous shiur, Nitin Latzila Benafsha, we're allowed to kill the pursuer. After Tziach, if somebody wants to kill somebody, Nitin Latzila Benafsha, we may murder the pursuer. Makshna Marosul Ritzeach, Maritzeach, the halacha is Yarg Val Yavar, a person should rather let himself be killed versus murdering someone else. Af Nar Marosul, so too, the halacha by Nar Marosul is that a person should be ready. She should be ready to give up her life rather than do Gilei Arayis. So ask the Gemara Ritzeach Gufei Menolan, and where do we know that so is the halacha by the Ritzeach, that a person should be prepared to give up his life versus murdering someone else? Answers the Gemara Svarhu. We understand that through logic. The Hu Dasla Kamei the Rava. There was somebody who came to ask Rava. Amalei Mari the Roy. My master, my non-Jewish owner, said to me, Zil Katli Laplanya, go kill that individual. If you will not do so, Kitlin Aloch, I'll kill you. Amalei, so what should he do? Says the Gemara, Likut Loch V'loi Tikdol, allow yourself to be killed versus you killing someone else. Because, Miyam Adam Adach Sumak Tfei, who says your blood is redder, Dil Madam Dahu Gavr Sumak Tfei, maybe the victim's blood is redder. So Rashi explains that, as we said at the beginning of the sugya, why is the halacha that a person is allowed to give up his life instead of violating an aveira? Because every moment of life is precious. But here, if we're going to be killing somebody, so then we're not showing life as precious because his life is being eliminated. The Yad Ramah explains that, and it's really based on what Rashi says, every moment that we're alive, we're able to do mitzvahs. And the longer we're alive, we're able to do more mitzvahs and learn more Torah. So who says that the murderer is going to live longer than the victim? Maybe if the victim was left to live, he would live longer and he would have more of a chance to do mitzvahs and learn Torah. And therefore we have no right to kill him. So the Rishayim ask, but we don't know this for sure. So if we don't know for sure, maybe he should be allowed to kill because it's a suffix. So the Rishayim answer that whenever we have a situation of suffix, the halacha tells us that when you have a situation of suffix, sheval tasa, don't do anything. And this being a suffix, whose life is going to be longer, whose life is more precious, the halacha is that don't do anything. Sheval tasa. The Rebbe Rabbonim Rishpishischa said that there's a tremendous lesson in our Gemara. He says, what would be the case of a situation where a person who's being told that if you won't murder the victim, you will be murdered, that the Gemara is saying, under all circumstances, one may not kill. Because my chaz is the damach didach sumak tfei, what makes your blood redder? So he says, what would be the case if the person who's being challenged to do so is a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, and the person who's supposed to get killed is not? Says the Rebbe Rabbonim, our Gemara doesn't differentiate. Our Gemara says that in all circumstances, the person has to give up his life and not murder. So from here we see that we think that we have the ability to measure who's greater, who's more important, who's more precious in the eyes of Hashem. Our Gemara says that that is not the way to think, because our Gemara doesn't differentiate between who is going to be killed. Our Gemara says that in all situations, a person should never do so, because we don't know whose life is more precious. Says the Gemara, Kiyasar Avdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Shanu, all these halachas that we're learning, that by all other situations, a person should not give up his life, It's only Shaloi B'Shas Kseres HaMalchus. It's only in a time where the government is not making decrees to make us give up our religion. Avol B'Shas Kseres HaMalchus. If the situation is that they're making decrees because they want us to leave our religion, Afilu Matzah Mekala, even the slightest mitzvah, Yaharag V'Yavah. Kiyas Ravan Amar Rabbi Afilu Shaloi B'Shas. He adds another consideration. He says that even if it's not a time of a government decree, this that we have to not give up our lives is Lo Yomer El Betzina, when they're making us do an Aveira in a privacy. And we'll discuss later what that means. Avol Befaresia, if they're making us give up our lives in public, then I feel Mitzakal Yaru. Why is there such a distinction by Xeris Malchus? So the Rashi explains that we can't allow that there's a situation that the Nachrim think that they could make us give up doing mitzvahs. Once they'll see that if they force us to give up mitzvahs, we're going to give up mitzvahs, there's no end. The Yad Ramah explains that this is when the Nachrim are forcing us to give up mitzvahs, now it's already a situation of Kiddush Hashem. And when there's a situation that we're ready to give up our lives of a Kiddush Hashem, of course we have to do so. So Gemara kept on speaking about a mitzvah kala. So ask the Gemara, my mitzvah kala, exactly what is a mitzvah kala? Amar Rava bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Afil Shnu Aks Tamsana. Even if they make us change our shoelaces. There are many different pshatim. What does that mean? Rashi explains that if they tie their shoes, in the Nachrim tie their shoes in a certain fashion, and we tie our shoes differently, and they want to force us to tie the shoes in their fashion, then the halacha is that we have to not do so. Darach explains that Jews used to have the shoelaces were black. The reason they wore black shoelaces was because Avelis are the destruction of Yerushalayim. And the Nachrim would typically wear white shoelaces, and if they want us to make wear black shoelaces like them, then the halacha is that we have to give up our lives. And the Rishonim point out in both of these pshatim that it's only if they're making us do so because they want us to show that we're not going to follow the menhagim of Klal Yisrael. But if a Jew does so, even though he maybe shouldn't do so, he's not Mechayev Misa. Rabbeinu Tam says that the color of the shoes were the same. It was only the color of the shoelaces. However, the Shiltis has a whole different pshat. He says, Arka Mitzah de Masana, they used to wear the shoelaces, and that was a part of the way that they worshipped Avodah Zarah. And that's why we shouldn't give up our lives we have to give up our lives with shoelaces. The Gemara also differentiated between if this is being done with Sina privately or Pharesia. Ask the Gemara of a Kama Pharesia, what is the definition of something being done publicly? Says the Gemara, Amar of Yaakov, Amar of Yochan, Ein Pharesia, Pchus Mesar B'nei Adam. Pharesia means that you have 10 people. Says the Gemara, Pshita. The Pasuk says, it's Pasha to the Gemara, that in order to be considered Beresa, Yisrael be'inan. There have to be Jews there. Because as the Pasuk says, V'niktashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. B'bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is, Tishi Yisrael v'nachri echemahu. You have Jews amongst the group. Do you have to have that all 10 of the people are Jewish? Or if you have, and the way I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara, that even though the Gemara spoke about a case of 9 Yisrael and 1 Nachri, it doesn't mean that. It means that it has to be, it could be a mixture, it doesn't have to be all 10 Jews. And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, how do we understand the words V'nikdashti B'soich B'nei Yisrael? Doesn't mean that it has to be all B'nei Yisrael, or is it enough that some are Yisrael? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Tani, Rav Yanei Achvad Rav Chi Bar Abba, Asya Toich Toich. We learn the following Zeresh of Ksiv Hocha regarding the Pasuk of Kiddush Hashem that we're learning. The Pasuk says, V'nachdashti b'soif v'nei Yisrael. Ksiv Hosam, by Das Kairach. The Pasuk says, He bottled him mitoich ha'eda hazois. Ma'ala halan, there the eda was a sorrow, was 10 people, as because we're talking, because we know that from the Meraglim, that the Torah calls them eda, and we know there were 12 Meraglim, but Yeshua and Kalev did not join with them, so we're down to 10. The Kul Yisrael, and obviously they were all Jewish. Afkan, from there we learned that Peresia means a sorrow, it means all Jewish, and the halacha is that you have to have the Kul Yisrael, they all have to be Jewish. Rav Nachum Zemba spoke at the Knesset Gedolah, at the third Knesset Gedolah in Marimbad. He says, what we learned from this Gemara, a very important lesson. We use the words Kiddush Hashem, we use the word Chilul Hashem often. And we always think of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, how the Nochrim are going to react to the way we are behaving. Says Rav Nachum Zemba, from our Gemara we see just the opposite. In our Gemara we see that the Kiddush Hashem has to be in front of Jews. There's a question that we're in the middle of learning, is there also a concept of Kiddush Hashem by Nochrim? So we see that when we think of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, the one that we have to think about has to be all Jews. The Pesach Tshuva says, our Gemara is questioning the 10 Jews, if they, the 10 people, they have to all be Jewish. The question is, are Noshim, women, considered part of the 10? And what about Gerim? And the Michas Chinuch says that if we're learning, our Gemara keeps on saying we're learning from Eda, which is the place that we learned the halacha of a minyan for davening. So just like when you speak about a minyan for davening, you have to have 10 men who are over 13. He says that would be the halacha here too. The Hikdash B'Toich B'nei Yisrael has to be 10 men over Mitzvah. But the Sefer or Gadol disagrees. He says, because if the halacha is that just like men have to be ready to give up their lives for Kiddush Hashem, so too women are obligated to give up their lives for Kiddush Hashem. So they're obviously included in this situation of Kiddush Hashem. Since they're obviously included in the situation of Kiddush Hashem, women can be part of the 10. Now, the Shas HaTshuvas Divrei Shmuel discusses, what about the person who's being forced to give up his life? Can he be considered part of the 10? So he says, the Shas HaTshuvas Divrei Shmuel says that he's not considered part of the 10, because he's not going to be here afterwards. He's the one that's being killed. The Tshuva Zera Emes disagrees, and he says that that person, being Jewish, is certainly can be included in the count of 10. Ask the Gemara for Esther. Esther that was taken by Achashverosh, and she was it was a situation of Parasya Hava. Everybody knows that she was there to have relations with Achashverosh, and why didn't she give up her life, even though it was a situation of Pharisee? So many Rishonim asked the obvious question, why is the Gemara focused on the fact that it was Pharisee? Why is the Gemara not saying that it was a situation of Gilui Arayis? And many Rishonim say that indeed that it could be considered a situation of Gilui Arayis. Other Rishonim, the Baal Mor, says, it's not sure there was Gilui Arayis. Nowhere does it say in the Torah that Esther, in the Megillah, that Esther was married to Mordechai. Chazal say it, but it's not explicit. Tosfos says that there it was the Bia of Akum. And Tosfos wants to suggest that a Bia of Akum is not considered a Bia. So it's not considered Gilui Arayis, but it was a situation of Pharisee. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that since Esther certainly did not have any pleasure from that Gilui Arayis, it's not considered a situation of Gilui Arayis. So again, ask the Gemara, but it was certainly a situation of Pharisee. So ask the Gemara, Esther Pharisee Havya, Amar Bai Esther Kaka Olam Haisa. Esther did not actively participate, and therefore it's not considered a Chilul Hashem when she actually didn't participate. Rav Amar, Hanas Atzmon Shani, when what the Nachri is doing is only for his own pleasure, then the halacha is that she's allowed, that's not considered a situation of pharesia, it's not considered a situation that they're forcing us to violate our religion. But the Rishonim ask, we've discussed in our shiur today that there is a question if a person is supposed to, may or should give up their lives to be machmer. So why didn't Esther do so? So the Rishonim answer that Esther knew that she was here in a very unique situation where she could save Klal Yisrael. So even though she herself might have been prepared to give up her life instead of doing the Avera, she stayed alive because she knew what the repercussions were that she could save Klal Yisrael. Dilei Rava Amar La'anos Asmashani. And the Gemara brings a raya. Dilei Temach, if we will not say so, Hani Kvaki V'damayki. They used to have different types of vessels that they used to use for cooking. And the Nochrim, when they had their holidays, no one was allowed to have a fire on, only in the place where they worshipped the Avodah Zarah. To guarantee that didn't happen, they would confiscate all of these pots and pans. And the question is, how may we give our pots and pans to them under such situation? Aren't they using it for purposes of Avodah Zarah? The answer is the reason it's permissible, because Hanos Atman Shani, it's being done for their own benefit. Hachanami, so too by Esther, Achashverosh was doing it only Hanos Atman Shani. Vaza Rava Tamei, and Rava follows, this is Rava's opinion elsewhere. Dama Rava, Akam Dama Lala Yisrael, and Akam said to a Jew, Ketoil Aspas B'Shapsa V'Shadil Chayusei, cut some grass on Shabbos and give it to my animal. V'loi if not ketinaloch. The halacha is likta v'loi liktalei. He should cut the grass and not give up his life. Shadi nahara, he says, but if the Akam told him throw the grass into the river, liktalei v'loi liktalei, he should be ready to give up his life. What's the difference? My tama, because says the Gemara, that what in the second case, levur milsikaboy. In the second case, the intention of the Akum is to make us violate the mitzvahs. In such case, we have to be ready to give up our lives. In the first case, he's doing it for Hanos Atzmon. And since they're only doing it for Hanos Atzmon, it's a whole different situation. It says the Gemara B'Amnei Mirav Ami, does a Nachri have to give up his life by Kiddush Hashem? So the Mefarshim point out that even according to the opinions that a Nachri would have to give up his life at Kiddush Hashem, it's only in a situation of Gila Rayas, Ritzich, and Shvichas Damim. Even though we've been learning there are many more mitzvahs, the Zayin mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the halacha is that it's only where we would have to give up our life. So the Gemara is asking, does a Nachri have to give up a life? And we only have to give up our lives, as we're learning here, by Gilei Rai, Shvichas Damim, and Ritzicha. Says the Gemara, Amar, B'ai Toshma, Sheva Mitzvahs, Nitzdava B'nei Noach. B'nei Noach were commanded seven mitzvahs. Vim Isa, if they have to give up the life, Tam Nehavin, says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, that's not what it meant. Inu V'kol Avizrayu. Kiddush, giving up one's life, is not a separate mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of Gilui Arayis. It's part of the mitzvah of Shvichas Damim. My Havalah, what is the halacha? Amar Rav Ada Bar Hava, Amri Bei Rav. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, by Naaman, who was the general of Aram, who became a Ger Toshev, because Elisha was able to have him healed from his tzaras. And Elisha said that he, and at that point, he davened to Elisha. He asked Elisha, that he will go along with the king of Aram to their Avodah Zarah Beis Rimon, and when the king bows down, he would lean on Naaman, and Naaman would bow down as well. And he says, I now know that I'm not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, and the halacha is, so what am I supposed to do? And what does Elisha respond? Vim Isa, if the halach is that the Nachri has to give up his life, loy lemele, how could he say that leich l'shalom? Answers the Gemara that even if we'll say that a Nachri is mechuyiv in Kiddush Hashem, habet tzina b'feresia. There's a difference between tzina and feresia. At tzina, the Nachri is certainly not obligated to give up his life. And therefore here, the Naaman was not obligated to give up his life because they were worshipping the Avodah Zarah in the privacy of the base of Avodah Zarah. And from here, I saw that the Chabina Rav tells us we have a raya that a Nachri does not have the mitzvah of Teichacha. A Nachri does not have an obligation to tell somebody that you have to do that you're doing something wrong. Otherwise, why would Naaman not be obligated to tell the king that you're doing the wrong thing? And based on this, the Chabina Rav said that even though there's a rule, there's a klal, Sainim Atanas Yechya, the one should not take gifts, says the Chabina Rav, that's only by a Jew. Because why should a Jew not take gifts? Because if a Jew takes gifts, there's a concern that he's never going to be able to tell the person from whom he took the gift, you're doing something wrong. But if we're learning now, there's no chiyuv teichacha, there's no obligation to tell a Nachri you're doing something wrong. So if there's no obligation to tell the Nachri that you're doing something wrong, so therefore there's no rule of Sainim Atanas Yichya by Nachrim.